Let's pray this morning and ask God that He would encourage us this morning and build us up. You know, the Bible was given for our encouragement, to give us hope, to give us instruction for living. We have a great God. We have a good God. I mean, He makes it hot and He makes it cold. You know, it's interesting on these hot, hot days that we don't burn to death. It's interesting we have a God that was ingenious enough to create a very, very thin layer up above the atmosphere that shields all those ultraviolet rays, the tremendously dangerous ones from getting down here and just frying us all. We wouldn't even live on a day like today. Well, we wouldn't live really any time probably that the sun was out. God, it's kind of exciting to think of God handcrafted this world for you. God hand-molded it. He spoke different things into being, all for you, all for your enjoyment, all for your benefit. This is supposed to be the state of 10,000 lakes. Well, they didn't just happen here. God put them here for you to enjoy. It says in the book of Timothy that God has created all things for our enjoyment. We have a great God, a joyful God. And He wants to share all of His being with us. Everything that He is, everything that He has. That's why He sent His Son. Well, let's pray this morning. And thank Him and ask Him to encourage us today. Lord, we just thank You this morning that You are a great God, that You are a compassionate God, that You're a merciful God. We thank You, Lord, that You created this day, a very special day. You could have spoke the Word and commanded the sun to never rise again. You could have spoke the Word like You did in Noah's day, like You did with Sodom and Gomorrah. And as we slept last night, You could have destroyed the world. God, we thank You for Your mercy this morning, Your fresh mercy. We ask You this morning, Lord, that You would instruct us in the way we ought to go. That You would give us real encouragement, real direction, real understanding in our lives. That our lives might experience the abundance and success that You intended. Give us grace this morning, Lord, with the heat. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your little notes there, some of you may have read through them already. If not, you see the title? It's the two most hated words in our vocabulary. Seems like in America today. Hard work. Hard work. We're going to talk this morning about the area of diligence. Brent shared with you a couple weeks ago on the area of laziness. Just out of curiosity, how many of you, let's have a little quiz here, a little pop quiz. Let's name, so far we've done six areas of successful living. I want to see if you can name the six. So we won't have everybody do it once. If you know one of them, you raise your hand. See if you got your hands up. Just put your hands up if you know one of them. You think you know one. Okay, Steve? Tongue. Taming the tongue. All right, that's one. Who's got another one? Doug? Desire that kills. All right. Bev? Pardon? Follow the ant. All right. That's three. Mike? I think that was impassioned, right? We already mentioned that one. So we're still at three. Brent? Oh, no. Oh, Kathy, dear. Wisdom, that a girl. Way to come through. Linda. Yeah, taking it to criticism. Blaine. Planning. Look at that. We got all six. All right. Now for 10 extra quiz points. Who can put them in order? Who give me $10 if I can put them in order? Oh. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about diligence, hard work. Let's just read through this together. It seems that in America today, the favorite pastime of Americans is nothing, doing nothing. I remember back when I was selling auto parts that almost every day, without exception, someone would say to me as we were parting, "Hey, we'll see you later, Mark. Don't work too hard." Everyone seems to be living for the weekend, just biding their time through the week so they can party the weekend away, or just relax with a few beers, dreaming about the time they'll no longer have to work and just be able to relax and fish the rest of their life. Whether you realize it or not, this mentality may be affecting you, and it could rob you of the success and joy in life that could be yours. Now, I know that we probably don't all put ourselves in this category. I'm just giving a massive generalization here. But as a country, we have an obsession with leisure time. We have an obsession with free time, which makes it very difficult for those of us that work more than the normal average American. We feel like we're weird. We feel like it's odd. We feel it's often easy to feel like we're getting the shaft. And because in America, you know, you only have to work 40 hours. And you can make it. You can do anything you want. You can have your boat, your two cars, your house, and go to the lake every weekend. Did you know that in America, the average person, this is a national statistic, the average person who retires at 65 to a life of relaxation and leisure lives exactly 1.5 years. 1.5 years. Pleasure, laziness will destroy a person's life. I don't know if you knew that. And you know, it's so easy. We look at the movie stars. We look at those that have so much money. And we think, oh, they're enjoying life so much. I was watching a Billy Graham crusade this last week. How many of you got to see any of that? Anyone see? Billy, did you see the night Pete Maravich was on giving his testimony? Anyone see that? Lou? Well, I'll tell you, that's about the most dynamic, encouraging testimony I've ever heard on one of his crusades. And Pete Maravich is extremely wealthy. There's no question. In 1972, when he came into the league, he signed the highest contract ever signed by a professional. Well, I think it was professional basketball. I'm for sure it was basketball, but it may have been in sports. It was a $1 million contract. The first young man ever signed a $1 million contract. And he was sharing his testimony how he, you know, ever since he was little, I was 7 years old, his father told him, son, I can't afford to put you through college, but if you'll do everything I tell you, if you'll practice, then you'll go to college on a scholarship, and if you're just fortunate enough, you may get drafted in the NBA. And he never lost sight of that goal, and every day he practiced, every day he did what his father told him. His father was a high school basketball coach. And then eventually he was the coach for Louisiana, where Pete Maravich played. And he got that scholarship, he got drafted in the NBA, played there. And 2 weeks from now, I think, or maybe this week or next week, he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he was sharing how, you know, I had everything life had to offer. I mean, I drove every car you could ever think of. Some of you only dream about it. He said, I had most of the things all of you dream about. He said, I'd come home and I'd be empty. Well, you know, emptiness comes from a lot of reasons. Certainly it comes from not knowing Jesus Christ. But it also comes from meaningful living, meaningless living. Wealth can often bring such discouragement and emptiness because what happens to a wealthy person is they finally realize that it does not buy them what they thought it would. It does not necessarily give them what they thought it would. And sometimes we can be deluded and think, well, wouldn't it be nice? I live next door to a guy who... I don't know how, I think because this home that he lives in, it's got four, five garages and a swimming pool and a satellite dish. And he lives there all alone, and he lives there for free. The state pays for it because the guy owns it's in prison. And so it's in escrow to the state, and he just lives there for free. And I don't know if he does anything. He's always over at his pool. It's easy to think, boy, you know, what a life. Well, if I was a Christian, wouldn't that be exciting, all I could do with that time? Now that's such emptiness. It's such emptiness, and we're so easily deluded today by the mentality that has permeated our world today. Jesus said, my food, my sustenance is to do the work of Him who sent me. To do His will and to accomplish His work. There is tremendous fulfillment that only comes from hard work. Let's look at some biblical principles here this morning. Some secrets, I think, that could unlock the door of success in your personal life, your career, your finances, and your everything. Let's turn to Proverbs 13:4 this morning. Proverbs 13:4. It says, lazy people want much but get little, while the diligent are prospering. Lazy people want much but get little, while the diligent are prospering. You know, there's an interesting correlation between the lazy man and I'm sure as you recall many of the things Brent shared. And a diligent man, one of the correlations is they both want something. They both want something. Maybe we could ask ourselves, who wants it the most? I'm not exactly sure, but I do know this, that a diligent man is prospering. Now, I thought I'd give you a definition of diligence this morning. What is diligence? Diligence is characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic application and effort. It's painstaking. A synonym is busy, which means to be engaged in action, full of activity. Simply put, a diligent person is hardworking. I think about that. Ask yourself, do I have this mentality of, you know, in any way, little or small? Do we have that mentality that well, if I could only get a little more rest, if I could only get just a little more sleep, if I could only give my eyes just a little more slumber? Proverbs says to that individual, their want will come in like a robber, and their life will be lived in poverty. You know, the answer to today's world and today's poverty situation is not equal distribution of wealth. It's diligence. It's character. It's applying oneself, making the necessary changes, being flexible. It is applying all the things we've talked about in the last 7 weeks and applying them to the area of diligence. I know Brent was sharing me a verse the other day about wisdom. It says that the wise man sharpens his axe, was kind of the thought. And that you could be incredibly strong. And you know, I've seen people like this. I've been like this at different times in my life. You know, the old Hulk. And I'm just beating that tree. Boy, I know I'm going to chop it down. And some little wise guy comes along and says, you know, Mark, if you'd sharpen your axe, you'd get a lot more done. Oh, no, I've always been doing it this way. And I just know this will bring me success because I'm working hard. Well, you see, the key to the diligent man is the diligence also a wise man. And he would take your advice and he would say, well, all right, show me how. You'd go over and sharpen that, and boy, then you watch his blows count. You see, it's a combination of those things that we've talked about. But diligence is painstaking. It hurts. It hurts. It's steady. It's energetic. I kind of think of it like this. My wife, to me, I think God has used my wife maybe more in my own life to change this area in my life, and God is still changing in my life. And any other human being, of course, I'm with her more, so maybe there would have been someone else. But God sovereignly used my wife. And things just can't lay around with my wife. They can't. And she usually is perpetual motion in the home. In fact, and I mean this seriously, I have to grab her by the arm, set her down to get her to watch a football game with me or something. Because see, there's just always energy being expended all the time. There's this. And, you know, of course, I get to enjoy the benefits because it's such a well-ordered home that I can sit down and watch a football game, you know. And my wife will be up there doing this and doing that thing. I mean, and I've learned from her that one area of diligence or one practical thing is that when a man is diligent, sees something needs to be done, he just does it. He doesn't think about it. He does it. You know, it's like you come down to the basement and there's this that needs to be put away, this that needs to be put away, and then maybe there's this that you'd like to do. Well, a diligent man just puts it away, and sits down and proceeds with whatever he's going to do. The other person says, oh, who cares? And just sits down. Diligence is always applying itself. It's always applying itself to whatever it's in. Let's look at Proverbs. Let me make a comment here. A diligent person is a self-starter. Just like the ant, he doesn't have to be prodded to do something. I'm sure Brent covered that quite thoroughly. But that's very interesting. You watch little ants. Little ants never waste time. They're always hunting for food, and they're always storing up for the winter. You know, you never see an ant in the winter. Have you ever noticed that? He never has to pop his head up out and get cold like you and I. He's got his food all stored up for the winter. Little ants are, from what I understand, are maybe one of the strongest creatures for their size on the face of the planet. And it's unique how God made them that way as an object lesson to us. They're just always applying themselves. Always applying themselves. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. The hard worker will prosper. Let's talk about prosperity here for a minute. Proverbs 10:4. Sometimes I think we avoid this area. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is certainly not a prosperity gospel. I'm just talking about a fruit that grows on the tree of diligence. That's all. It says in Proverbs 10:4, lazy men are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Proverbs 21:5. Page 61. Steady plotting brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. In Proverbs 28:19. Hard work brings prosperity. Playing around brings poverty. Here's some interesting things. First of all, I'm going to stick my neck out here, but I personally feel that the game shows are a national epidemic in our country. They have created a tremendous disillusionment with work. Everybody would love to play the lottery. In fact, there's people who would love to get the lottery in this state. You know why? Because of this verse. In Proverbs, hasty speculation. Everybody wants to get rich quick. I want you to understand there's a real disillusionment today, a major deception going on today in our society that riches are where it's at. And so you've got these game shows and everybody, I mean, they pay tickets to get on so they could win Wheel of Fortune, you know? I mean, it's like a turn and they could win something. Let's make a deal, you know? Oh, if I could just get my chance. Who can act crazy enough, insane enough to get on the show for a little money, for the chance to win a little money? Steady plotting brings prosperity. I would rather have 20 men who would steady plot with me through life than 20 men who've always got the next newest idea of how to get rich. Because it's going to end you in poverty. It's going to bring poverty. Second of all, playing around brings poverty. You know, I've visited with guys. I've talked with people that are real hard workers. Some, you know, construction workers, they work really hard. Different people, farmers, they work really hard. Other people that work really hard. But why is it sometimes they seem broke all the time? Well, you've got to understand the diligent man has character all the way around. You see, the only way this verse will come true is if you don't have a leak in your ship. If you're filling it on one end and emptying it on the other and then go, this work doesn't work. See, I just proved it. I'm diligent. I work hard all day. Where's my money? Well, where did it go? You tell me. Where did you spend it on? You see, the Bible always is true. The Bible never, never lies. And God's principles always work without exception. But you have to understand that to be diligent would affect every area of your life. It would mean you would apply diligence to your spending. Doesn't mean you would steadily spend. It means you would diligently exercise self-restraint as to what would be necessary and what would not. And God may put us in situations. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and say I'm so exceedingly prosperous. I don't know if anyone here would, but I know God's applying diligence and God's meeting our needs and God knows His ways. But a diligent man will always have a more full and successful life than a lazy individual. I got to be honest with you, I have a feeling that probably we may be. Right now we're the greatest debtor nation in the world. I wouldn't doubt that we may be one of the greatest socialistic nations in the world. Did you know, I bet if we took statistics, if you and I knew how many billions of dollars are spent in this country every year on welfare programs, I would venture a bet that we spend more in a year on welfare than the Soviet Union, who prides themselves in being the equal distributor of wealth. There's just handouts all the time in this country. We have destroyed the work ethic in this country. And we've also destroyed, you realize sometimes guys want to go to college. And I think going to college is great, but oftentimes guys want to go to college just so they can get rich, so they don't have to work hard. And I talk to many college students with that kind of mentality. I can't wait to get out of school, man. I can just kick back and relax, and the money will just come in. I know guys that wanted to get into sales for that reason. Man, I'm selling it so you drive around an air-conditioned car, make a few stops here. The man who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows vain pursuits will come to poverty. If you don't till the land, if you don't work it hard, you'll be poor. Remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? The turtle and the hare, you remember that? A lot of guys and a lot of women, they're like the turtle. Man, they just take off out of those blocks. And wow, they're down the road of life. And they're just zooming right along. And here comes that old guy, you know, that turtle, just plodding along. I thought about this in my life. I've had this, some of these experiences, frankly, in my own life. So I've been married 8 years, and when I got married, I was in debt, and then when I got married, I got more in debt. And having never been to college, frankly, I wouldn't have made it because I wasn't diligent. I hated to study, and I just would have never applied myself. So I decided not to go, and I got married and started having a family, had one child, and then our second child, and I didn't have insurance with either one of them, and then we had a car accident, and that added up some and piled on, and then I got into a business that I thought I would get rich quick at. I thought it would be the answer to my problem, get me out of debt. And it worked for a while, and then the bottom fell out of it. So here I was, making about $5 or $6 an hour, married, one income, and about $15,000 in debt. And I remember one godly brother back in Ames shared this verse with me. Steady plodding, Mark. Steady plodding brings prosperity. He said, my advice to you is to just get a job, get another job, get as many jobs as you can handle, and you keep plodding along until it's all gone. So I took his advice. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. So I got this job at this auto parts store and found out the guy who hired me had lied to me. It was going to pay half of what he led me to believe it would pay. But then I had a job. There's no way I could quit it. I thought it would pay me $1,200 a month based on what he told me. Turned out the store, the company was doing half the income and it only paid me $600, and I had to pay my own expenses besides. And so then I got that job, though. I learned something about dealing. So I didn't even have enough money to put gas in a car. In fact, the car I had that I bought from another business, I had to take it back to the dealership and pay them to take it back. I didn't want them to have to repossess it. I had to pay them $600 to take the car back. And then I didn't have a car, so I got on the phone. And I started in the A's of the business section. And I called until I got to the S's, which took me a number of days. And this guy said, well, you know, our salesman just quit. How did you find out about this? I said, well, I said, I've just been calling to the phone book. And he said, well, yeah, you come on in. So the guy had to see, lived in Marshalltown, which was another 40 miles away, 30 miles away. He said, to borrow a car to go to Marshalltown. It was in the middle of a blizzard. Went over there and this guy said, yeah, he said, well, we got an opening. I'll talk to you again in a week. So I kept doing my phone calls, waiting for him. And finally got to visit with this guy and gave me this glowing story, and it all seemed just really tremendous. So I took the job and found out that it was half of what it paid. Actually, I took the job without a car. I didn't tell him that. It was on a Friday, and by Monday I had to have a car, and God had to do a miracle. Sunday night, one of the girls that Kathy and I knew that was in the church that we were involved just called us out of the blue and said, you know, I was wondering if you'd like to use my car. I'd like it to be driven because, you know, I ride back and forth to university every day. She lived just a few blocks away, and I don't just like it sitting. I said, are you sure? And she said, yeah. I said, well, you know, I'll probably put on this many miles. She said, that's just what I like. So the next morning, I showed up to work in a car. Then about 3 months later, I realized this isn't paying what this guy told me. I need another one. So I used my same little format and got on the phone and finally got to the Z's and I called Zap Video Arcade. This time though, I had in mind what I wanted. I wanted a job. At nights, I didn't want to be shot for the next day. I wanted to get a job I could kind of get paid for just babysitting or sitting around, you know, and not some hard manual labor. So I got this job at this place called Zap. And I was there 2.5 years, about 25 hours a week at that one and about 40, sometimes 40 to 45 at my other one. And this verse, I saw this verse come true. Steady plotting. And here I am at 30 years old and basically with no debts at all. And what a wonderful feeling that is. And you know, I'd go back and do that all again for the valuable lesson I did. Those were the days that God was using in my life to train me for now. Work is so rewarding. The sleep, you know, we have another national epidemic in this country. It's called insomnia. You know why we have a national epidemic in this country called insomnia? Because of leisure time. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes that the worker has deep sleep. Very few people in this country work hard enough during the day that they're tired enough at night to sleep. Now that's not always true. You can have worries, you can have all kinds of things going on in your mind. But work, God did not give work as a curse. We've often thought that because of what happened with Adam and Eve. Work is a tremendous, rich blessing. It brings tremendous dignity. Let's look at Proverbs 12:24. This is one of my favorite verses. Page 33. Work harder and become a leader. Be lazy and never succeed. This verse was always a challenge to me as I thought about leadership in my life, to my family, my church, whatever I was doing. The key was harder work. Work harder. Whatever it took. If it's your job, more application to your job. Find out what your company's about. Find out what their product's about. Be proud of where you work. If it's your personal life, work harder at it. Don't give up. Just apply yourself more diligently. If it's your Christian life, read your Bible more. Think about it more. Pray more. Harder work. Work harder and become a leader. You know, today, if you were going to be a political leader in this country, do you know what it would take? It would not take just the right connections. It would take some awesome diligence to knock on doors, make the campaign trail in all 50 states. You don't think those guys work hard? I mean, we may not like all everything related to politics, but let me tell you, we're talking about 16, 17, 20-hour days, sometimes for 8, 10, 12 months straight on the campaign trail, just so they can get into office and promote their agenda. It's hard work. Ask yourself what would happen if you applied yourself to whatever it is you want in life with that same diligence. Can you see what you want and what's keeping you from getting there? I would venture to say that for everyone, when we can cut off all the fat, it's diligence. Diligence is the bridge, you see, that will take you from here to there. Diligence. Like I'm sure Brent shared about the lazy man, diligence is what gets his food from the table to the mouth. But the lazy man won't even get it there. He won't even take it. See? Diligence is the road to leadership. It's the road to leadership on your job. Many of you are and will be the managers, the key people on your job, just from what you've heard today as you go and apply what I've told you today. You'll find out here when we get to the end. Hard work brings blessing and satisfaction. Let's look at Proverbs 12:14. Page 31. Telling the truth gives a man great satisfaction, and hard work returns many blessings to him. And this is what I've been saying, kind of interjecting all along. Hard work brings blessing. Blessing means happiness. Hard work, it brings happiness. Listen, one of the things that will help change is your mindset, your mentality. I know some of you are working very hard.
Man, many of you are working very hard. Please don't rob yourself as you work by cursing your circumstances, thinking, man, I can't wait till this period of my life is over. Please don't do that. Hard work brings a man great satisfaction and blessing. And blessing. The reason we don't think this is because we have a disillusionment as to what relaxation is and what pleasure is. I love work. I love work. I am a workaholic. I would rather be busy 20 hours of my day, 18 hours of my day, going, going, going with productivity and purpose than 5 hours a day of free time and leisure and pleasure. I really mean that. I really, really mean that. Why? Well, for one reason, my life's going to count, you see. I'm making investments. I am big on investments for the next life. And I'm always thinking, you see, that by the way, if I was just going to tell you how to get rich today, I hope no one takes this to this extreme, but I do believe you could be the wealthiest person in the world. If you'll apply what I'm saying, you'd be the wealthiest person in the world. You could live comfortably the rest of your life. But there's a curse, the Bible says, that goes along with it. But with God, if we know Him, we have purpose, you see. And everything in our life is spiritual. The Bible says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. Heartily means hard. With all your heart, with all your might, do it. If it's a housewife, if it's a mother, do it with everything you've got. I've all been encouraged by my wife. Never has she cursed her lot in life. Motherhood being a wife and being a woman. She loves it. And she works hard at it all the time. It's one of the reasons I think, personally, if I was thinking about this through my week, my wife's happy. She's happy. It's because she works hard. And those of you out there, as you apply this, you'll find that it returns many blessings to you. But the key to that is having your mentality change. Got to have that mental conviction that work is not a curse. Remember, diligence is the most precious possession. Guard it well. At any time, it can be taken from you. If it was a diamond as big as my fist, you would guard it well. Well, diligence is your ace in the hole. And you must guard it well. The New American Standard says that diligence is the precious possession of a man. It's your precious possession. And it could be gone tomorrow if you let it go. Apply yourself. With the rest of the world always looking for something for nothing, it won't be long before the diligent man or woman rises head and shoulders above the rest. Always remember that on your job. Always remember that. Most of the people that you work with, very few do I find today that really love work. They all will tell you the comment that I gave you today. See you later, Bob. Don't work too hard. That's not a silly little greeting or goodbye. That's a mentality of this country. Don't work too hard. Don't give too much to your company. I want to explain to you why you should give a lot to your company. Because when you give a lot to your company, you give a lot to God. You know, I don't see the company. I don't see my family. I don't see the church. I see God. He says, work hardly as unto Him. As unto Him. And you become the most influential person. Because most people are just biding their time. They're just trying to get through the day. Now I was visiting with a young man the other day, Mike Wakamoto, a guitar player. He said on Fridays, usually everybody splits real early from the engineering firm he works at. He was there till 5. Everyone else was gone at 3:30. He was there till 5. Some guy walked up to him and says, you know, what is it about you? You know, you go about your work cheerfully and you seem to enjoy it. I mean, Mike was just about to answer. This guy goes, you know, it's got to be the two reasons. You got religion in you or something about him knowing God or something. It turns out this guy was a Christian, this other guy. So Mike got to visit with him. But that's really true. It's just that little extra effort, you see. That's what makes athletes from the average to the great. It's that extra effort, the application of diligence. You apply diligence. God is building your faithfulness now in the physical realm, and God will increase your faithfulness in the spiritual. Let's pray and thank God for this time. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace that You give us to be diligent. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.